Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It was supposed to be a fresh start, one of those quiet little resets that happen after life turns sideways. A modest home tucked into the calm corners of Essex. Nothing strange, nothing sinister. Just a boy, his brother, and their mother doing their best to move forward. But sometimes places don't like to be forgotten. And sometimes they're not the ones doing the watching. In 2006, the house was just a house. It didn't creak in unusual ways. No lights flickered. No chills crawled through the floorboards. For more than a year, everything was fine. Almost too fine. Until late one afternoon when the silence shattered, not with a scream or a bang, but with a knock. It was just the beginning. From that moment on, the walls of the home seemed to breathe a little differently. An invisible presence made itself known, but never fully seen. It started with taps, then shadows, then cold spots that touched your skin like a whisper. What was once a refuge slowly transformed into a place of uncertainty, where the line between memory and fear began to blur. The boy, now a man, has carried this story for years, and now for the first time he's decided to share it. Let's get to the letter. They write, Tony. This is the story I've never stopped thinking about. I've written it and deleted it more times than I can count, but something keeps pulling me back. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's just that the house still doesn't feel empty. We moved in during the summer of 2006. My mom had just left my dad, and she brought me and my brother here to Essex, to this plain little house on a quiet street. Nothing special about it. One of those places with pebble-dash walls, a creaky gate, and a front door that sticks in winter. We were just looking for somewhere to breathe, somewhere without memories attached. For the first year and a bit, that's exactly what we got. The walls stayed quiet, the floors didn't groan, and if anything weird happened, it got chalked up to the wind or faulty plumbing. We were adjusting to a new life, a quiet one. I even convinced myself that whatever I'd felt in the old place, the shadows, the dread, I'd left that behind with my old bedroom. And then one night it started again. I was home alone. Mom and my brother were out shopping, I think. I'd gone to the toilet upstairs and closed the door behind me, just like always. I remember feeling this odd tightness in my chest, like something was off, but I ignored it. You know how you sometimes spook yourself when you're alone. I chalked it up to that. Then came the knocking. At first, I thought it was my brother playing around. I shouted, "Knock it off!" But the knocking didn't stop. It was slow, steady, almost polite in a way that made it even worse. I finished up as fast as I could and opened the door, expecting to find someone standing there, some idiot joke from my little brother. But no one was there. And when I say no one, I mean no one. The house was completely still. I ran through every room, every hall, even the airing cupboard, nothing. The front and back doors were locked, windows closed. I even checked the side alley. No footprints, no laughter, just silence. I didn't tell anyone that night. I wanted to believe I'd imagined it. But then it happened again. Not every day, not even every week. Just often enough that I stopped brushing it off. Sometimes I'd be brushing my teeth and I'd hear it, three slow knocks. Sometimes it was at the bathroom, sometimes the hallway wall. Once it came from inside my wardrobe. I remember standing there frozen, toothbrush still in my mouth, just listening. It was like the house wanted me to know. It was awake. Eventually, my mom admitted she'd heard it too, my brother as well. At first, I thought that made it better, shared delusion maybe. But it didn't make me feel safer. It just made it real. The knocking wasn't the worst of it, though. What got under my skin the most was the feeling. The sense that someone or something was watching me. It always came at the same time. Late at night, when the house was quiet, when the lights were off. I'd be lying in bed, scrolling through my phone, and suddenly I'd feel it. A weight in the doorway. It never moved. Never made a sound, but it was there. Just out of view. I started sleeping with my lamp on, then with the TV. Eventually, I moved my bed to the other side of the room so I wouldn't have to face the door while I tried to sleep. Some nights, I swear, I could feel it move closer. There were no footprints, no voices, just this constant, heavy sense of being studied. It didn't matter what room I was in. Sometimes I'd be sitting at my desk doing homework, and I'd feel it behind me. Not like a breeze, like a cold breath hovering just off my shoulder. My arm would go cold. Goosebumps every time. I'd turn slowly, knowing I wouldn't see anything, but sometimes Tony. I thought I did. It's hard to explain. Out of the corner of my eye, I'd catch a flicker, like someone ducking out of sight, a black blur against the hallway wall. Once I saw what looked like the edge of a sleeve slip behind the door frame. When I went to check, nothing. No noise. No one. I didn't tell anyone about those shadows. Not then. I kept trying to rationalize everything. Faulty wiring, old pipes, my imagination. I even blamed my own stress. Said maybe it was all just residual stuff from the divorce. But there was one moment that really shook me. I was sitting in my room after school just doodling in a notebook when I felt something next to me. Not a sound, not a flash. Just a chill across my forearm like someone leaned in to see what I was drawing. It didn't feel hostile. In fact, it almost felt curious. But no one was there. That's when I stopped pretending. It was all in my head. I didn't know what it wanted. I still don't. But I knew it had taken an interest, not in the house, in me. I still remember what I was watching on TV that night, some late-night rerun, volume turned low. I was half asleep on the couch, eyes drifting between the screen and the faint reflection in the patio door. That's when I saw it, a shape, not a shadow, not a trick of light. It was white, like static, trapped in a human form, walking past the back door. No sound, no hesitation. It just moved across my line of sight calmly, like it had every right to be there. I turned, jumped up, ran to the door, pulled it open. There was nothing. The yard was still, not even the wind. I stepped out into the cold and looked around. The gate was shut. The motion light hadn't even come on. But I knew what I saw. I stood there for a while, waiting for something, anything, to explain it. Nothing did. That night stayed with me, but it wasn't the last time. A few weeks later, I was in the kitchen. Mum was beside me, rinsing plates. The door to the garage has a frosted glass window, the kind that blurs everything behind it. You know what's there, but you don't see it. Except this time I did. A man. Pale, still. On the other side of that glass, he wasn't blurred. I could see him, Tony, his shape, his posture. He was watching me through the frosting, not moving, just standing there, watching. And for the strangest 3 or 4 seconds of my life, I stared back. There was something familiar in him. I don't know how. I couldn't see his face, but it was like I knew him, like I'd seen him before, somewhere buried in my memory, deeper than recognition. Then Mum said something, just a normal kitchen comment, and I blinked. He was gone. I told her right away. I needed someone else to validate it. She looked through the window, laughed nervously, said maybe it was my reflection, but she didn't sound convinced, and I knew it wasn't. Since then, things have quieted, in a way. The knocking never fully stopped. The cold spots still happen, but the sense of fear has changed into something else, something heavier. Like whatever's here isn't trying to scare me, it's just here. I've started to wonder if it's not the house at all. When I think back on it, I've had moments like this before. At our old house, before the move. Once, in a hotel I stayed in while traveling. Always these subtle touches. The same eerie breath across the skin. The same flicker in the corner of my eye. The same quiet that feels less like silence and more like listening. So maybe it followed us, or maybe it's always been with us. My mom's dad died when I was still a baby. I never knew him. But Mom talks about him a lot, how protective he was, how he always wanted to look out for us. I started to wonder, what if the man I saw The one in the frosted glass was him. What if he's the one who's been here all along? It's a comforting thought, but also a strange one. Because if it is him, then why knock? Why hide? And if it's not him, then who? I've stopped trying to answer that. These days, I just let it be. I don't talk to it. I don't challenge it. I live around it like you would an unspoken rule. My brother doesn't bring it up anymore, but I know he feels it too. Some nights we pass each other in the hall and exchange looks, that quiet acknowledgement. Still here. So that's it. That's the story I've been holding on to. I've lived in two haunted houses, spent nights in a hotel that felt colder than it should have. But this one, this house, it's different. It never wanted to scare us. It just didn't want to be forgotten. I still don't know what it is, but I know it's watching. Thanks for reading this, Elliot. Sometimes the scariest ghosts are the ones that never try to hurt us. Elliot's story isn't filled with blood-curdling screams, possessions, or violent outbursts. No shattered glass, no exorcisms, no demonic names whispered through the walls. And yet, it lingers, like a fog that refuses to lift, because what he experienced is far more difficult to explain and far harder to dismiss. Knocks with no source, a constant presence at the threshold, white figures through frosted glass, these are the hallmarks of a haunting that doesn't demand attention. It simply waits for you to notice. Let's explore the psychological side. Some might say this is classic sleep paralysis, maybe a lingering trauma from childhood, or the divorce that fractured the family. There's even a term, pareidolia, our brain's natural tendency to find patterns, even faces, in static or shadow. The mind, trying to make sense of chaos, turns anxiety into form. It gives shape to silence. But there's one problem with that theory. Elliot wasn't the only one who experienced it. His mother, his brother, they all felt it. They all heard it. Whatever was knocking wasn't just in his head. So then we step into darker territory. Is it possible that this presence has followed the family, not from house to house, but through something deeper, something inherited? If the figure in the glass really was Elliot's grandfather, that raises even more questions. Spirits with emotional bonds often show up in ways that mimic memory. The sensation of being watched, the protective presence, the calming chill just when it's needed most. But even the kindest spirits don't always appear the way we expect. Maybe the knocking wasn't a warning. Maybe it was a reminder, I'm still here. Still, that final question lingers. If it was a guardian, why hide? Why not show itself clearly, offer comfort? Why always stand in the shadows? Maybe it's not meant to be understood. Maybe the point was never about scaring them or even comforting them. Maybe it just wanted to be known. And in a way, maybe it got what it wanted, because now all these years later, we're still talking about it. And maybe somewhere, it's still listening.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.